The information provided on Dr. Tom Rozelle Live by Dr. Tom Rozelle, D.C., interview guests, show co-hosts, or substitute hosts is not intended or implied to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. It is for general information purposes only. Information from this broadcast should not replace the appropriate consultation and examination process by a licensed physician. Always consult your own physician prior to changing any current medical directive or prescription.
Welcome to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. Indeed, we're live. And it's gorgeous outside. It's absolutely a beautiful day. And make sure you get out and enjoy it. But, you know, if you get out and enjoy it, remember that it is April. And what does April have every year, year in, year out, that is not different than any other year? It's called allergies, right? You got all the buds and you got all the trees and you got all the grasses and you have all that nonsense. And you go out and say, oh, my God, it's beautiful. But you get outside and now you can't breathe, or you start itching, or your eyes get matted, or your intestinal tract starts raging. And you said, could this be coronavirus? And no, it happens to be just springtime allergens, and you don't have to suffer with them. You can actually make a huge difference and turn them off. And so your body can get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Having said that, that's the topic today. It's springtime allergies. It's that time of the year. And one of my favorite people who can run this program, sometimes I think better than I can, none other than Dr. Stephanie Pina, our naturopathic physician at the Rozelle Center for Healing in Fairfax. And we're going to talk about this, and there's no one better to be able to deal with this thing on a multiple level basis, from energetic level to nutrition level, than Dr. Stephanie. Welcome, Dr. Stephanie.
Hello again.
Hello.
I know I feel like, you know, we talk about allergies every year, but, you know, they're always here every single year. And it's just a matter of when does it start in the DMV area. That's for sure. We're in the midst of it now instead of getting before it, and then we have to deal with what comes afterwards as well, too. So it's an appropriate topic.
Well, here's the thing. You know, it's like viruses, right? Some people get them and some people don't. Some people seem to be totally insensitive to getting anything. And then there's some people that all I got to do is stick their nose outside the door in a crack and they're going to get really sick. So let's start with the basics. You know, why are some people so sensitive and really their lives get ruined? They have headaches. I don't feel good. They can't move. Their energy goes down the tubes. And some people say, yeah, come on, let's go out. Let's go for a walk. Let's go hike. Let's go pick flowers. Let's do all those things. And no problem whatsoever.
Well, it'd be nice if there was just one thing. Fix that. But unfortunately, and that's the way we think of it when we take medications, right? Like we just shut off histamine and we're done. We just get rid of the mast cells in our body that's creating the histamine and we're all set. But unfortunately, our biology is a little bit different. And so we have to think about how things are structurally, chemically, and emotionally in order to help prevent us from the current allergy season, but then the ones to come as well too. And a lot of the times we are bombarded with so many things. And then we also have our own lifestyle factors, like, are we eating properly? Are we hydrated? Do we have chronic illnesses that we're also working on that we may or may not know about that puts us in this inflamed state that all we need is that little bit of pollen or the foods that we don't know about to get into our system and our body reacts the way it should, because an allergic response to begin with is a normal response. We have to remember that, but then it starts going overboard and then it doesn't know when to stop. And so when we don't have a way to help clean out that system and give it a chance to rest, then essentially we kind of keep building and building, and that makes our symptomology worse over time.
You know, it's curious that people immediately think that any of these conditions, these inflammatory reactions, are something that the body should not experience. Well, the truth of it is, as you just said, the body, this is a normal reaction. It's just out of control. And so it becomes the next question, right? Why is it out of control in some people and not in others?
Well, again, good question. And we're going to cover that in the lecture this Wednesday.
That's right.
Make sure you register early and get your spot.
Yes, call and get the presentations.
Exactly. You'll get to know how we're going to deal with these. You know, I think it definitely has to deal with, you know, our own personal environment too. How stressed are we and what kind of mental or physical stressors are we putting on ourselves? Are we already in an inflamed battle to begin with? Because we certainly see this with patients who come in and they have autoimmune diseases, or they have chronic diseases like Lyme that have multiple different layers on them. even something like Epstein-Barr or mono that we think, oh, we went through that in high school and college and we don't have that. That all lingers with us and it starts to keep their immune system kind of on check. You can even think about chickenpox and shingles. You know, it's something that's dormant. So when the body gets stressed out enough, it starts to come out of nowhere and gives us issues. So the allergic response sometimes can also be a sign that there's other things going on, that the body is too stressed out, and then we need to start making changes. And a lot of times it's always been interesting. People will think they can move from one area, like one part of the country to another, and everything's going to be great. Everyone used to always say, I'm going to move to Arizona because it's dry and there's no allergens and pollens. But the problem is, after living in Arizona for 3 years, I started getting springtime allergies out of nowhere. And so you get exposed to new pollens, or people have brought all the plants from their old place with them. So they have all the other environmental factors, both outside your windows and doors and inside your own homes, that create issues as well too. And those are the ones that we feel like we can't quite control. We can't tell Mother Nature to stop making things bloom, nor would we want to. But how do we deal with things in the meantime as well too?
I was going to say, no, if we shut down the environment outside, it's pretty out there. We just have to enjoy it. You know, as a kid, I could go outside and I could, you know, lay in the grass and I could pick flowers and so forth, and nothing that would ever happen. Over the years, I came to Washington, but we're talking about mold and fungus, and that's why they call it Foggy Bottom downtown. That's year round around this area. But the truth of it is that our immunological systems begin to get kicked in the pants, if you will. And so we don't have the protective mechanisms that kind of modify that. We're here at 888-630-9625. That's 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. Dr. Stephanie Pina is my guest, and she'll be your presenter, your host on our weekly webinar, or, you know, PowerPoint presentation. And, you know, we got to get over that, Dr. We got
to
get them back in the office.
Soon to be in-house lectures.
Yes. Yes. We have to have everybody back in. And actually, we're probably going to start doing that pretty quickly, because the way things are, our office is so secure. We're going to maintain social distancing, and we have HEPA filters in the office, and people are very, very well protected. So, but we'll be limiting it to probably about 50% of the people that we normally would have. And then we'll still, we're going to start doing some live webinars on top of that to do this. But for right now, we're still doing it this way. But all you have to do is to get this presentation on allergy reactions and springtime allergens is go to our website, go to rosellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, rosellecare.com. Scroll down a little bit. You're going to see it, and just press the button, register, and you're going to put an email in, and the staff will send you this on Wednesday when it comes out, and it's there for your listening pleasure. But in the meantime, if you'd like to ask us a question today while we're on the program, it's real simple, 888-630-9625. So let's go back to primary questions. We got springtime junk that's hitting us all. Some people are having problems with it, and some people are having really significant problems. And unfortunately, they start scrambling and say, oh, my God, I have this inflammation. I'm having trouble breathing. It must be coronavirus. No, it's simply allergy reactions, and you're not responding very well to it. So let's set the stage. Why, you know, what is the typical profiles? I'm probably getting into a little deep water here, but somebody who is going to be more susceptible, if you will, and somebody who may not be anywhere near as susceptible. Is there a difference? What linkages do we have to be aware of?
There can be a typical profile that comes in, but it's always interesting too, because you can change, like I was just talking about changing regions, and all of a sudden symptoms that you didn't have starts to catch up with you because your body is now getting accustomed to the pollens and the grasses and everything that's going on. Even the air quality. You know, I talk a lot about the outside, but the air quality in a different situation can have a lot to do if you're in the city versus someone who's in the country. You can think about how someone was raised. You know, the person who may have had more exposures when they're younger, their immune system got used to more and more things, so they may not have as much allergy issues. I think it says now, like, we think about pet dander and pet allergies. And I guess the latest quote is, if you have two pets, not just one pet, but two pets, and preferably a cat and a dog, that you have less allergies. It's kind of interesting. I don't know that people want to sign up for that study all the time and kind of see how it goes. But what ends up happening is you see that people have these stressors in their lives and things that they can't control. So when we think about it, you might be looking at the person who comes in with the runny nose and this, the itchy eyes as someone that, one, isn't hydrated. So maybe they're working indoors quite a bit. In this particular area, as you mentioned, there could be mold in a lot of the older buildings here and homes as well, too, that we don't know about. The other thing we're thinking of is people will come in and they don't get enough sleep and that time to really heal and let things digest in the digestive tract too. So diets may be off, sleep patterns and circadian rhythms may be off. They may have other types of inflammation responses as well too. We see a chronic connection between, say, children and adults that have asthma and allergies and they have skin reactions and they may or may not have been children that were breastfed, but they had immunological issues at the beginning. So it's kind of the people that have come in that kind of always seem to be sick and don't seem to be getting better. It's like their body's finding a new way to kind of express this and chronic allergies and having to take medications year round versus even seasonal is one of the ways we see this.
Now, one of the things that I have always looked for over the many years that I've been at this is, you know, when a person comes in with any kind of allergic reaction, whether it's environmental or a toxic reaction of some sort that they're sensitive to, you know, basically your fight flight system is primary. You're going to go to the adrenal system because that produces your steroids, your and triggers antihistamine reactions in the body. And then you're going to look at liver function. You're going to look at intestinal tract function. Those are the culprits. If you don't get those guys to walk in tandem and harmony with each other. For example, the intestinal tract, if somebody has a histidyl reaction, the histamine patterns get out of control, they go through the ceiling, and you know the person has all kinds, not just sinus reactions, but they'll have skin reactions, they're going to have a lot of abdominal cramping, they can't eat things, your adrenal system puts out adrenaline and steroids that dampen any kind of cytokine reaction, if you will, is the same thing that we're dealing with this these crazy viral patterns that are out there. People who have that ability seem to be stronger in those that don't. And the detoxification pathways within liver function. So I would look at people who, you know, you have to look at not only their environment, as you brought it up exactly. Stress patterns are high, diet stinks, and you know they have no energetic from muscle tone in their body. They're going to be more susceptible, if you will, to all kinds of things, but particularly what we're talking about with allergy reactions. And they eat things that are modified. You know, in our today's world, there's all kinds of garbage going into things. The other day, I found out that I was sensitive to arrowroot. I had seed crackers, right, and they were bound together with arrowroot. And all of a sudden, it felt like somebody hit me in the head, and I wanted to go to sleep. And so we tested it and found out, oh, my God, it's the arrowroot that's the problem. So that is, again, we could take that into springtime allergen reaction because of the arrowroot. But, you know, that's how I would say that we differentiate those pieces. When we come back into the second part of the program, what I want to do is I want to start, you know, talking about treatment and why people end up where they are. If we can do certain things, I think we can avoid these springtime allergens, but we'll come back after a very, very short break and we'll continue to get into the water on this. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, I am, and it's a beautiful day in the neighborhood. It's gorgeous outside. It's one of those days, you know, because it's April, when you walk outside, you're looking for your nose dope, your Afrin, your, you know, all those kind of silly things. Well, that's called springtime allergies, my friends, and many of you suffer from them, and a lot of you do not, and there's a differentiation between the two. My guest in studio, your host, your presenter this Wednesday evening online, as we have been through this last year, Dr. Stephanie Pina, our Doctor of Naturopathic Medicine at the Results Center for Healing in Fairfax. Welcome again, Dr. Stephanie. Let's get into the soup here a little bit. We broke off talking a little bit or begin to suggest that fight-flight system, that adrenal system, was a primary culprit in allergen expressing. And really what that comes down to is either too much or too little. You know, it gets bombarded, it gets beat up, and then there's no protection, or it's in a place of hyperstimulation, overreaction. Let's talk about that, and then we'll segue it into the second half of the program.
Sure. I know I always get nervous when I have a patient or someone comes in and talks to me about, you know, immune health and adrenals and allergies when they say, you know, I have no stress, first of all. And I said, okay, we'll talk about that in a moment. And okay. says, because they're thinking of the outdoor stressors, the emotional stressors. And I said, there's always stressors going on in the body because we're functioning and we're walking around. But then I always say, so you don't have any reactions. And they say, nope, I've never been sick in 20 years of my life. I have a stomach part as, you know, hard as a rock and everything is good. So none of that's an issue. I kind of worry about those people.
Yeah, it's called
I worry
too
about them a lot.
It's called too sick to be sick.
Yeah, they may not be, their immune system may be so depleted that they're actually not giving a normal stress response, a normal allergic response. So when they do get sick, there's no signs and symptoms that says there's something going wrong. And even if you just look at the basic fever, never mind all the other allergy symptoms we do, but when we have a fever, we know that we're increasing our own body temperature. We need the adrenals to help out with that. So if there's too much stress going on a biochemical level, we may not be able to physically emote that. Then again, you have the opposite and someone is so stressed out that they're responding to everything. It's like they walk into a room and they smell something and they have a response. They eat anything that one day they were fine with it. The next day they can't eat with it because it was just cooked a little of a different way. They have a response to it. Those overactive people, they definitely have an issue, but it's also very difficult to treat them because they don't understand why is it that everything I respond to, I have a stimulation to. But it's really their internal body of how they're dealing with stuff first that you have to start with. You have to start with inside out and then worry about the different allergens and the stressors too.
We're here at 888-630-9625, 888-630-9625. Love to talk to you. You know, if you're reaching in your pocket for your nose dope or you're taking your allergy pills and all those things and your doctor says, well, you have to take these things, there might be, just be a different way. And to be able to turn things around a little bit. And that's why we're doing the program today. Dr. Stephanie Pina is my co-host and guest on Dr. Tom Rizal Live, but she is brilliant when it comes to these things. She brings a platform of both, if you will, Asian medicine as well as American naturopathic medicine. She's a naturopathic physician by education and really has an insight to this. Dr. Stephanie, we got a couple, 3 minutes before we have to go to a break. Let's talk about the necessity, if you will, of having a solid sympathetic reaction, not one that's aberrant, not one too high and one that doesn't work at all. What does that fight-flight system actually do in our body to modulate some of the things that we're talking about right now?
When we talk about that in our sympathetic systems on the go, that's our drive to stay alive, essentially. You know, we fight or we freeze. And essentially what it does is it gets the blood pumping, it gets oxygen going, it allows us to see better, it allows those muscles to contract. But at the same time, what it's also doing is if we're constantly in that state and running away from something, you're over-responding to everything. Your body doesn't know how to shut off that other flip side, the parasympathetic side, the rest, digest. And some people would say rest, digest, and have sex. And so essentially what you're looking at is the inability to basically relax. And so you can't shut off the symptoms that essentially are key to allowing us to heal during those times as well, too. Instead of, oh, if you're always running from the tiger, there's no way that, say, someone's going to lose weight because their body doesn't know when the next meal's coming. So it's just going to put all its effort into running from that tiger or running from that stressor or getting that job done. But then again, if we're on too much of the other side and we're just lazy and we don't want to do anything either, we might be trying to recover too much because we've been overexhausted. And so then we might not be having these symptoms of normal immune functions that get us in trouble as well, too.
Yeah, it's like sitting there with a 5-pound weight in your hand or a 2-pound weight in your hand and you're doing curls with that weight. And it's really easy to begin with, but you never give that muscle the recuperative time frame to reset itself and to, you know, to balance out the actin and myosin levels within the muscle. Then pretty soon what happens, it stops. It's only 2 pounds, but it's constant. There's no repair. There's no relaxation phase. And that's what happens with the body, the constant exposure to aberrant and abnormal stimuli without any kind of break in between. Resets the body in a very bad way. We're coming up to a break. This is a fascinating program. It's one that you really need to pay attention to. Call us at 888-630-9625. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
Dr. Tom Rozelle Live continues now on 105.9 FM WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. This is Dr. Tom Rozelle. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rozelle Live. Indeed, it is a live, beautiful, gorgeous day outside, and I hope you get outside and really enjoy it. It's so pretty. I'm sitting here in my home office, as they say, looking out these beautiful windows and the trees that we have around our house, and I see things budding out and blooming out and looking so spectacular, and that's the good news. The bad news is that so many of you, when you stick your head out the door today, are going to be all kinds of headachy and drippy nose and achy a little bit. And so all of a sudden you got mucus running down your throat. You're looking for your nose dope, your Benadryl, your Afrin, and other things that you've been given. And that's called springtime allergies. And you say, why should I go out now? So you've already been isolated for how long now and told to stay home? Well, a lot of you are just going to make yourself stay home because of this. But ain't necessarily so, my friends, and we'd love to talk to you about that. If you have a problem, you want to know a little difference of what you can be doing, 888-630-9625, that's how you find us here. But more importantly, my guest today, Dr. Stephanie Pino, who is a doctor of naturopathic medicine, and we're talking about these springtime allergies, and she will be your presenter this coming Wednesday evening. And all you have to do to get that presentation is simply go to rozellecare.com. That's rozellecare.com, rozellecare.com, and click the button, say, send me the thing, and we'll send it to you, and you're going to get a lot of information. But in the meantime, if you'd like to have some right now information, just give us a call, and we'll be happy to make that happen for you. Dr. Stephanie, welcome back. Let's talk a little bit more about, you know, this craziness that's out there. What happens, and let me start with that, people are taking all kinds of different medications. You know, they go to the store, there's a lot of stuff that's over the counter, and there's prescription drugs, and there's inhalers, and, you know, it's like one steroid on top of anti-inflammatory, on top of this, on top of the other thing. In my very limited mind, this is nothing tantamount to making things far worse. What happens with all these medications over a period of time to the human body? How does it make it better, or does it make it worse? Does it set the stage for wellness, or is the patient on a slippery slope going downwards?
Well, a lot of the medications that you see, you know, I would say especially advertised right about now, you know, we know that it's online or on TV and stuff. In fact, I was just looking at the calling count on like the Weather Channel, and it was brought to you by one of the advertising pharmaceutical agencies and their local products. Unfortunately, what happens is there a lot of them are working on symptom control. If they just work on the acute symptoms right now, you get through the season, but then you may or may not have to stay on it. You might come off that medication, and then next time you're just waiting for the next allergic response. So do you wait for your next season? Is it, whether it's spring or fall or mold or pollens and stuff, you know, it's there to just suppress the immune system one way, shape, or form. You know, different medications that are out there do it in different ways, but those inflammatory markers also give us prevention and signals for other things. So what ends up happening is some of the side effects that we don't think about these medications, sure, we feel a little bit better because there's less mucus because it's drying us up. Well, that's a problem. It's drying us up. So as it works on histamine, that histamine is also required for proper digestion. The histamine is also required in a lot of different things as far as if you have histamine receptors in your respiratory tract, but in your digestive tract, in your urinary tract, in your reproductive tract. So there's a lot of things that create other issues that all of a sudden we see this dryness happening all the time. It's one of the biggest things that why antihistamines are not used with patients who are trying to become fertile is because it dries up their cervical mucus. It dries up the flow of basically getting blood flow to the uterus itself. So we see this all the time. And a lot of the times these medications just build on each other. So either you have to go from the short-term one that you were taking daily basis to the long acting one, and then maybe you have to add another component in there because now the wheezing and the coughing is getting worse, and now we're going to throw an asthma inhaler on top of it as well too. So we're still just treating symptom control at this point. We're not worried about what happens to the body in the long time, and the more harsh those medications get, the longer they have long lasting effects on the body. As it gets stronger to shut the system down, we see things like blood pressures drop. We see things like fatigue and energy levels during the day go down. We see other things happen, like even there's some studies that show dementia increases with antihistamine type of reaction medications. So what's the long-term goal of these medications is acute symptom relief. It's not really treating the issue and the cause to begin with.
You know, you go online and you start taking a look at all kinds of things, from your Claritin, your Benadryl, to Rhinocort, and the list goes on. It's crazy. And they all have, you know, they're advertising, well, get rid of your, you know, your congestion, your sneezing, your runny nose. But at the end of the day, these things perpetuate their own use, if you will. The more you use them, the more you need them. You have something called a rebound phenomena. You know, years ago, we used to take patients off of Afrin and have to do it very, very slowly, because I told them once you take this stuff, it shrinks up the nasal membranes. It dries the mucus secretions. And as you just indicated, as just pointed out, it's not just in the sinuses or the nasal membranes. It also could be vaginal. It also could be intestinal tract, which it is. And so you have that normal moisture that's necessary for, in cases of fertility implantation or in digestion and so forth. Now you have hardening. You have tissue that begins to break down, and the side effects are quite significant. And, you know, then it perpetuates its own other process. You know, when you're dealing with the pollens that are out there and you're dealing with the molds this time of the year as well, you got a double whammy. You have mold and fungus, and because of the rotting that's in the soil, because of the moisture that's in the soil. But you have the budding of the plants, and you have all that stuff that we begin to react, you know, to is over the top. Let me ask you a question. When somebody comes in, you have a child, for example, and this child presents to you, and the child comes in and they have dark eyes, and, you know, they have skin rashes, and, you know, you look at their mouth, and their mouth is red, and that a lot of that is inflammatory, but it's also, there's not a lot of mucus in there. How much damage is that doing to that child as the child begins to move forward?
Well, you're already seeing signs that the body's not compensating well. And so the dark eyes that you're talking about, if anyone wanted to look them up online, since we can't show you the visual over the radio, be called allergic shiners. And so essentially it's already starting to affect their adrenal glands, but their system's already starting to melt down. It doesn't know how to clear some of these toxins out. And so what tends to happen is body's trying to find a way to get the toxins out in the long term. So it's dealing with these allergens, whether it's a food or mold or pollens, but it can't do that. So it's using the mucous membranes to try to secrete them out. So that's why we see mucous membrane secretions through tears and our itchy eyes. And then we start to see essentially the same thing happen through our skin, which is another way we detox. So that inflammation is going up through the bottom of the skin, and it actually changes how thick the skin can be on the outside. So that's why you get the scaly plaque that try to heal. They're just trying to heal over and over and over again. So when we can't see this, and sometimes you'll actually see bedwetting as well too with allergies, because essentially the body's trying to urinate the stuff out, or loose stools is common with allergy symptoms as well in kids and adults. So a lot of times we need to kind of help in a lot of different ways by supporting multiple systems instead of just worrying about, let's just cut out the allergen. It's always important to identify allergens and what we might have sensitivities to, maybe not even a full allergen. But essentially, we have to kind of see what's this body trying to tell us when they present this different way.
You know, you have drugs out there like Nasocort, and you have, you know, the things that we talked about. I want to talk to our adult population when it comes to taking these things. You know, everybody's grabbing as they can. There's a lot of over-the-counter drugs I don't think should be there. But the question I have to you is, how often do these medications predispose to cardiovascular problems, heart problems per se?
It's probably more common than we realize, even though there's definitely warnings out there. I think they're prescribed pretty quickly because people are looking for such symptom relief, you know. And unfortunately, you know, when they look at more natural substances, whether they're plants or dietary, you know, and changing lifestyle is not something that's going to happen over the time. We know how hard it is to change someone's diet and get rid of their favorite food because they're eating it all the time. And that's creating a sensitivity. It's much easier to go to the medications and kind of get that quick symptom relief. But is it, like I said, it's just the band-aid of everything that's going on. And what is it going to lead to when you want to come off of it? But what it's really doing, especially in the cardiovascular system, is it's sitting there trying to get more inflammation out of the tissue. And so that dryness of feeling is actually constricting the blood vessels and putting more pressure on, not only increasing your own blood pressure, but it's going to put more pressure on the heart as well too. So if someone already has a predisposition of heart disease, of cardiovascular disease, it certainly can add into another factor that we have to take into consideration.
You know, when we start looking at these conditions, whether it's cardiovascular, the other thing that most people don't realize when they start taking these over-the-counter medications on a regular basis, it also can affect brain and memory patterns and predispose to a lot of things that we're all very afraid of dementia patterns of many different names and conditions. We don't get that they have very serious side effects, particularly cumulatively over a period of time. It's like a boxer in the ring. You know, the first blow or two is not a big deal. They kind of shake it off and they keep going. And, you know, the second blow, you know, they notice a little discomfort. And by the third or fourth beating that they take, all of a sudden their body begins to break down. And the same thing with the exposures to allergens, the more repetitive exposure and then superimposed upon the medications that they go and they grab, which has, I'm trying to allude to the fact that they have horrible side effects. Now you have a patient that goes to a place where I said the words earlier on, too sick to be sick. They have, they're broken down and they don't have the ability to, you know, to repair themselves because sickness, or what we say is sickness, like a fever, like runny nose, like diarrhea and so forth. That's how your body gets rid of things. So my question to you is simply this. How resolvable are these things? Can we fix somebody who has chronic, lousy allergen reactions that have been on these crazy things for a long period of time?
We can. And I think the interesting thing is kind of understanding that there's different phases of that. And that's what I'm going to go into in the presentation is that we have to treat the acute phase because most people want some kind of symptom relief. We have to be realistic. But the great thing is instead of popping another medication, which we're all assuming when we talk about medications as well, that that's the only medication that they're taking, that there's not another medication that might be having an interaction at the same time. So if they're just doing Claritin, they're just doing Claritin, but they may be on a blood pressure medication. They may be on a migraine medication as well, too. So we have to take into consideration where they are at that moment. And so come up with an acute care plan and then start to come up with a long-term one as well, too. And what was interesting always in Chinese medicine, you know, they always looked at the full body, you know, the fact that the respiratory tract had a connection with the large intestine, the lungs and the large intestine were planned. So they had to look at the digestive tract as well too. So we use a lot of digestive points with respiratory and immune points and using acupuncture, things like chiropractic to make sure that we can open up even the nasal passages to kind of help out with those acute symptoms. There's a lot that can be done physically to start getting the body to learn to respond instead of having to even take another medication. But when we start to look at the long-term effects, the real question is, why is this person responding? Like we were talking to, why are they having the allergy versus the person next to them? Even their own family members may not have allergies and stuff too. So it definitely begs to differ. What's going through their body systems that might be a little bit different in the long run? And why are they not responding the way we did? Can we use something that's a little bit more natural, that's a little more healthy to their body to kind of get things back on shape, not only just during allergy season, but the next season that comes as well too, because we might not have a allergy season. We may have multiple allergy seasons.
That's extremely true. And people don't get that. But you know, the other thing that I see and I've been aware of for many years is that people who are more predisposed to all kinds of allergen reactions are people who have digestive issues and people who are actually being treated with protein pump inhibitors where they stop the production of hydrochloric acid and other enzymes in their stomach. And the reason that is because one of your first lines of defense is the formation of acid within your intestinal tract, within your stomach. It breaks down that outer shell, if you will, so the body can go after it and cause it to be neutral. And so when you see patients that are coming in with, as you said earlier, with all kinds of different medications, not just nose dope, using the affectionate term that I created years ago, but it being on other things, they're dampening the body's immune system so it can't respond the way it's supposed to respond. This is a program that we really could get into a lot of different things. We're going to take a short break and then come back. And this is something that you need to understand that you can resolve completely if you do the right things. Don't go away. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live. My guest, Dr. Stephanie Pina. We'll be right back.
Washington's Mall, 105.9 FM, WMAL.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to Dr. Tom Rizzo Live, as you do every Sunday at 11 a.m. on the Eastern Seaboard. We're here bringing you the most intimate information on what you can do to help yourself in a state of health and wellness. You know, our job is to give you options, to tell you what the other side of the story really is. And today we're talking about allergen reactions. And my guest is none other than Dr. Stephanie Pina, our doctor of naturopathic medicine at the Rizzo Center for Healing. If you're looking for a different way to handle things permanently, if you will, and not just suppress symptoms, particularly in the conversation we're having today on environmental allergens and all the stuff that's out there that's making you kind of crazy and headachy and not feel so good and runny nose and intestinal cramping, all of those are because of the allergens. Well, this Wednesday, we have a program for you, and this one still right now you can get online. All you have to do is go to rozellecare.com. That's R-O-S-E-L-L-E-C-A-R-E, rozellecare.com, and register for it. Tell us where we can send you the information. And want you to understand that with this program this week, we have a very special gift for you. So it would behoove you to go and download that information and see what that is. You want to find out if something can be done to help this? Well, here's an opportunity. Make sure that you do that. RozelleCare.com. Register right now. Get online. Get it done. Dr. Stephanie, tell us what's going to be in that presentation.
Well, we're going to talk about allergies, believe it or not. And essentially, we're going to kind of go over some of the basics of it and how it responds in the body. How are these allergens and these pollens and these molds and all this stuff getting into the body, and why are we responding in ways that we don't know, and how can we get rid of them? But it also means we have to talk about coming up with short-term and long-term plans to work on your overall health and wellness. And so sometimes that might involve using some of the supplements and dietary changes that we may not want to do. But where do we go from there? Where do we tackle allergens as a bigger healthcare issue than it's given as a seasonal effect and stuff? So I say it's not to sneeze about, but you got to watch it. You got to register, and then basically we'll get some good information for you as well too.
So it comes down to simply this, you know, people who are suffering from these silly times, meaning the allergens, that I'm not talking about COVID times. I'm talking about the times that we're in right now relative to seasonal allergy patterns and the molds and the buds and the blossoms and all those things that are out there. And life can get pretty miserable for them. I mean, they can, you know, just basically everything stops right now, and they're reaching for everything to put the headache out and feel miserable. But what we want them to know is you don't have to suffer with this. It's a result of your immune system not working the way it's supposed to. And if you had the opportunity and you knew you could fix this, is that something that you would be interested in finding out more about? Well, if the answer is yes to that, simply go to rozellecare.com and check out the PowerPoint, listen to Dr. Stephanie, and see what she can put together for you, because it's an important time of our lives, if you will. We've been beat up. And here's this other piece, Dr. Stephanie. How much has the stress of this last 14 months, if you will, had on immunological responses across the board?
Oh, huge, huge amounts. And I think people feel it themselves. That, I mean, I have patients that I have to tell, you're going to eat fresh foods, not just because it's good for you. It's because I'm sending them to the grocery store to talk and to look at people and see that the world is still going on around them, and to interact with somebody, because it's a huge emotional stressor. And when we feel like we can't do anything about that and that we're alone in the world, it makes us feel, it slows down our healing process for sure. But then it also makes us gravitate towards the things that probably aren't as friendly and healthy as they should be, to say the least.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah, it's sad. It's, you know, I go out, I've been out constantly since this craziness has taken place over this last 14 months. I've been traveling, I've been teaching, I've been with doctors, I've been, you know, basically all over the country. And at the end of the day, I wish people knew what I know and what you know and really how to protect themselves. It's critical that we understand how the body's immune system works and what we can do to support it and make a difference. And, you know, we've said many times the work that you do in naturopathic medicine and energetic medicine and what we do in neurological pathways and nutrition, you can fix virtually anything that goes on in the body. You know, we were talking a little bit before the program started about epigenetic impact, influence on the body's immune system. And that's all the things that we're talking about, your environmental expression and impact on all those things. That's what we do this for. And we continue to do it every Sunday, same old time, 11 a.m. Eastern Seaboard. For one reason and one reason only. We love you all. We'll see you next week. Take care. Thank you, Dr. Stephanie.